Blog Talk Radio.
I talk with Deborah Burrows, a candidate for Alabama Senate District 7 runoff that's going down on Tuesday. Alabama Senate District 7 includes Huntsville and the unincorporated places, Hazel Green, Meridianville, Moores Mill, and Redstone Arsenal. She'll be talking about all the support that she has received and getting everyone pumped up to get out the vote on Tuesday. Hey, Deborah, how's it going?
Hey, Marcus, I'm always excited to be with you. Thank you for having me again.
Well, I'm glad that you came on, and I want to give you a shout-out for being willing to come on. Like I said, the first time I ever really talked with you, I think you remember, it was me, you, and Joe Ward on the way to Montgomery, and we had a good debate and good conversation. We don't always agree, but I love and enjoy what you do, and I think you're the right person for this position. And I just want to say that these politicians got to stop being scared of coming on this show. I'm not no different than anybody. I'm just not licking their boots and looking up them like they're some kind of god or something. We're going to get down to some real questions. I'm here for the grassroots to get down to some real questions. Them questions sometimes might be uncomfortable, but if you're running for office, you should be able to answer these questions. Now, the first question I want to ask you is, because this is percolating, even when I had the executive director of the UAH Democrats, College Democrats. Now, I've heard your statement on this, but I want to hear your statement again about cannabis. Everybody has their push-button issues, whether it's abortion, gay rights, gay marriage, what have you. But the push-button issue right now that's huge in the grassroots is cannabis. tell us a little bit about how you feel about cannabis, and then tell us about you, why you're running, and some of your platform. But first of all, let's get the cannabis out of the way, because that issue is really hot right now.
It is a hot issue, and I believe that whether the issues are hot or not, you can't be afraid to tackle them, especially if it's an issue when I talk to people that they're passionate about. I'm going to say that, you know, I don't marijuana, however, whatever you want to call it.
You want to call it cannabis? Hold up. But and to do justice, okay, because I am part of the Facebook group, you know, Alabama Cannabis Reform 2018, and a member and supporter of other groups like Alabama Cannabis Medical Reform, Cannabis Advocates, and I've spoken for them. Full disclosure, I've spoken for them. But marijuana was a term used to put that perception out there. We all know how labels and these different things put a bad name
right
on stuff. Just like the Affordable Care Act that is now commonly smeared as Obamacare.
Yes.
But the name of the bill is Affordable Care Act. People in the movement, I just want my listeners to know, the people in the movement who are trying to get this injustice turned around and to end prohibition, they do not call it marijuana. They call it what it is. It is the cannabis plant. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, it's sometimes when I'm talking to people, and I guess it depends on where you are, the situation you're in. It depends on who you are and what they call it. But you are right. So, okay, cannabis. I don't use it. I don't like the way it smells. But then I don't smoke cigarettes, and I don't like the way cigarettes smell. But what I tell people is this. We forget prohibition. During prohibition, cigarettes and alcohol were illegal. The mob got involved. People got killed behind it. People lost everything behind it. People had the distills in the country in the back of their homes. And finally, when the people spoke up, so now alcohol and cigarettes are legal. But you hear all the time of DUIs. You hear all the time of what cigarettes does for the lungs, the heart, the teeth. Matter of fact, there's a lot of very impelling, inspirational commercials on TV, and one of them, a woman is talking with a tube in her throat, and she dies. A man takes out his teeth. He lost all his teeth. Another man had to quit being in the military because it damaged his heart. The one thing that you don't hear every day, or, you know, see commercials every day and people dying every day, is because, you know, due to the use of cannabis. And what I try to tell people is this: you may not like it, you may not use it, but number one, it is good. That's why they, for medical use, many states around the country have legalized it because they realize the money that it could bring in. And so we need to look at things like that. We need to look at, if you can legalize alcohol and cigarettes and they're dangerous to the body, then why are we battling cannabis when it's a natural herb?
That is so true. And that is so true. And the main fact being, no one in history has ever died of cannabis. It's impossible to overdose because there's nothing in the cannabis plant that has anything to do with the heart regulation or the brain regulation. It's not going to stop the heart. It's not going to do any of that. But the main thing we need to do, I know it has been smeared and people look at it as bad and all this, but at some point we have got to trust the science, and the science is over 10,000 years old.
That's it. And then not only that, you know, I had studied for a while to be herbology, and I tell people when I hear them talk about doing natural things, I say you have to be careful that you know what you're doing, and you need to know what. So, for like example, golden seal, echinacea, those are wonderful things in helping with certain issues, but they're bitter herbs, and if you mix them with wrong herbs or if you will, and you do it wrong, you could actually hurt yourself. With cannabis, you know, I have not heard, don't mix it with this herb. Cannabis is not considered a bitter herb. So however much you use it, it is not going to hurt you. Now, with that being said, I have two thoughts on this. Number one, anybody's heard me talk or been asked at any rally, I say I would like to have cannabis to be reclassified from the uses being a felony to a fine. I remember Chris Christie, who was running for the attorney general, said he knew a young man who got a sentence to 9 years for having some marijuana on him, and it was still less than, you know, what we would think would be totally wrong, I guess I should say. Now, he served the 7 out of 9 years. Came out, he's still a felon. And so we are now sending people to prison for the use of cannabis when our prisons are overcrowded and we're labeling them as felons. And that's totally unacceptable because we look at the high rates of recidivism, and for people that don't know that word, I love the way that word sounds, but don't know that word, that's repeat offenses. You're going to send them to prison, and the only thing they've done was cannabis. So I would like to see it reclassified from being a felony to getting fined, okay? Now, I don't care if the first time is $250, the second time is $350, the third time is $450, but it's better than going to prison, losing their families and everything, and coming out as a felon. To me, that's one of the main things.
The reason why I'm all in favor of repealing it and getting rid of it, you know, ending prohibition, is because of not only the manufacturing could pick up anything made with plastic can be made with the hemp plant. That's your cell phone, your laptop, and it's biodegradable.
Right.
It's biodegradable. Yep. It's better for the environment. But
the second thing, like you said,
when people get out of prison, I'm going to let you get to that second thing. When people get out of prison, and I'm going to put this in right here right quick, the main thing they're facing for a plant that has been used for over 10,000 years, even way longer. But the main thing about that is they get out, they cannot vote. Going to be hard to get housing. You won't be able to get no type of public housing.
They lose
housing.
Their families.
No,
they can't get
jobs. Yeah, you won't be able to get. Yeah, can't get a job, can't get housing, and can't vote.
Can't get.
You're not really
stamps,
an American.
Can't vote.
You can't do
That's
any of
right.
those things. Then how are you an American? You cannot affect the system that puts you in there because you can't vote for it to be ended, and then you can't get a house and can't get a job. You're going to reoffend because you got to feed yourself and your family. That's what's causing recidivism. The recidivism rate is high because you put all these constraints on a person coming out of there for that. Okay, tell me the second part, and we won't even get into that issue.
That issue of what I think about, especially how I feel about nonviolent offenders that come out of prison. How they're treated, but that's another story for another time. However,
the second issue is,
yes, I am a supporter of legalizing it and taxing it, and I tell you why. If it's legalized, we don't have that prohibition. I look at the states that have legalized it and how economically they have turned their state around. And they did it through taxing it. And the people that own the stores that sell it can't keep it on the shelves. But the crime rate went down, the economics, the financially, they went up. And I said this to somebody, to a group of people when they asked me. I said, with all these tariffs that are happening now, and China is getting ready to hit it again in retaliation, which means your president is going to do some more. Alabama, there's been articles coming out talking about between the steel and cars and soybeans and other things,
and prices are going way up. That goes back to what you were saying about legalization and taxation of it. Anything made with soy can be made with hemp.
Yep.
Anything made with soy and corn. And it's better. The thing about the hemp is it uses less toxins. You don't need all those pesticides, all those.
To process it.
And it doesn't, so it's better on the environment, and it doesn't need as much water.
There's a lot of people like my grandmother who's allergic to corn. Now, she's not just allergic to she's allergic to anything that has corn in it, fructose, sucrose. People don't realize that just like where they told me don't eat gluten now, and I said gluten is in everything, and all over the shelves now you see gluten-free because so many people and children are becoming allergic. Well, it's the same thing with corn. Everything pretty much has corn in it. So that there helps people.
You're right. But there's so many health benefits and manufacturing benefits and benefits to the environment that we have got to come out of the dark woods in Alabama and do what's right for the health of people and for the economy. I mean, we can really help out by doing him. Now let's switch topics right quick. I want you to go and tell us about, tell us why you started running and tell us some of the main things you're going to fight for. And then tell us about some of the support you've received in the community.
Well, the reason I tell folks, I have for years been working campaigns. I've groomed a couple of people to run from a communication standpoint. I'd address all that campaigns. But yet I had people like the late Dr. John Cashin, who was one of my mentors, tell me, you need to get in politics. And I'd say no, and he'd laugh and say, oh, you will. You know, he's deceased now, but he would be so proud of me. He would be out on the front lines. Well, then when 8 years ago my grandmother came with me, we decided to, you know, get together because she was declining. And I found it so offensive that the things that she needs, she's now 93. She has things in her life that are historical, that our family is first at, that things that she's witnessed. Just imagine all the things she's witnessed in almost 100 years. She's full of knowledge. She's paid her dues. She's worked all her life.
Like my grandmother.
And then to be told, well, she don't qualify for this, she don't qualify for that, or because she got this, she can't get that. And I have had to, over the years, fight so much, been an advocate since my 20s. I'm now 59. And I have advocated for people because I've always fought for people that couldn't fight for themselves. So while I was fighting for her, then some of her friends, I'd say, let me make phone calls and fight for them. And it gets tiring. So first, if you remember, when we went to Montgomery to initiate We the People program, I had started originally running for governor. And then she started to decline and some things happened. And I pulled back and said, I'm not running all over the state. And I can't keep checking my grandmother. And let's just face it. Some of these Medicaid waiver home care agencies, they pay their caregivers very little. They don't train them right. So we've had caregivers in here stealing, eating food, lying. I mean, you know, and so that I definitely didn't want to leave and leave them in charge. So I pulled back, and I remember going on social media, letting people know when life gets in the way, you deal with it. And I was pulling back, and I had a lot of folks encouraging, saying, we still needed your voice. So as I prayed about how I would use my voice, a friend and mentor of mine, Commissioner Bob Harrison, got in touch with me one day and said, I just found out that Paul Samford, who senator for this district, is not running, and he's not going to run again. And he said, I believe this is for you. He said, and you can do more as a senator in the state than you could as a governor, because everything has to come through the legislature. And what a lot of people don't understand is that the state senate and your state legislators are all part of the legislative. So I thought about it, and my grandmother said, yes, go ahead and do it. And he said, this way you'll be campaigning here near home, and you become a senator. He said, and I'm going to help you win this. He said, and if you become, he said, you will be you may be gone the few times a year that they're in session, but you'll be, you know, you'll be back most of the time. So that's why I decided to run, because I realized, Marcus, that there are a lot of people that have not found their voice. There are some people that don't have an option to have a voice, and most people are dissatisfied and disappointed in the leadership that we have. They cannot trust anybody. And so I got out and started talking to people when I announced that candidacy and listening to people. And what I always say is, I can't hear you if I can't see you. And I tell folks, I see you. I hear you, thus I can listen to you. And I, in my small mind, had about six topics that I knew were important to me. But then as I continued to talk with people, I was like, oops, I need to do some research and add this. And as I researched and talked to people and sat on panels and people asked questions, I realized, you know what, I'm on the right track. I can represent the people, Marcus, because as I tell people, I have a voice. I have a mouth. I'm not afraid to use it. Now, I'm not just going to jump up there and start yelling and hooping and hollering. That's not how it's done. But I do know that there are things that right now, if I had been a senator, I would have voted either for or against. And I'm like, And when I'm dealing with agencies and things that are getting on my nerves, I tell them all the time, you better hope I don't become a senator, because I promise you this will change right here. Now, I'm smart enough to know, Marcus, I can't do it by myself. But I do know how to get out there, how to network as a former journalist, as an adjunct instructor, as a director of the criminal justice and legal studies program, as someone who's been trained for this, ready for this since I was five. I was at a function last night with women, and I said, look, God has been preparing me for this since I was five, when my stepfather molested me. And I have a grandmother who was ahead of her time that said, use this, what you've been through, for strength. And she molded and groomed me for years, that you represent the people. You can do this. You've been through it. Go help somebody else through it. So I've been being groomed for this since I was five. You know, that's 54 years. So I know how to conduct myself, how to get up there and fight. I know how to reach across the aisles and try to find something that other Republicans, Green, whoever, whatever they are, how to find what we have in common. Because the truth of the matter is, all Democrats aren't good and all Republicans aren't bad. You just got a commonality and then work with it. And so, you know, that's why I got in it, and I'm excited about it. I tell people I'm doing research because my goal is by the end of the year to have seven bills prepared when I go. Not to walk up in there and say, here's my seven bills and lay them all on the table. You know, you got to spread them and submit them, spread them out. But get up there and tell people, like one of my mentors, a woman, I love the way she does her campaigns with grace and dignity, is State Representative Laura Hall. Take it to her and say, Laura, what's wrong with this? Help me to straighten it out. And now I'm ready to present it. I'm so ready to get to work.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan of Laura Hall. I really appreciate her dedication to everything she has done for the community.
And look how she did her campaign. I was with her the other night, and I said to her, you know, you are my mentor. I said, no matter what has been said right in front of your face during this election, no matter what anybody has said or done or acted, she always got up with grace, acknowledged the opponent, and then let them know, this is who I am, this is why I'm here, this is what I've done, and this is why I want to stay. And
hey,
the grassroots
love Laura Hall, so we're not worried about nobody stepping up. They step up, we're going to cut them down.
Well, I hope we get to that point with me. I told her I want to get in, and even though I've recently signed the term limit pledge, I would like to be in for at least 2 terms, and I would like to make a difference. You know, there's an old song that says, may the works I've done speak for me. And that's why I have no agenda, Marcus, but to be a voice. And some women laid their hands and prayed on me last night, and one of the women in her prayer said, Lord, she's entering the devil's den. Put a hedge of protection around her because she's ready. You've prepared her to go in there and be among these people and work for the people. Now put your protection around her. And I never thought of it like that. But when it was over, I had to look at her and give her a hug and say, thank you so much.
That's right. That's right. What do you need in this last stretch? As we go into this last stretch, is just a few more days, a couple of more days.
Well,
Right now,
let me tell you, Oh my Lord, this last 5 weeks, I have strategized. I have had people to work with me. We're not going to go in it, but you know that there were some challenges on June 5th election. But I sat back, I held my peace, and as a couple of folks said to me, just sit down and let's watch how all this goes and give it to God. And I did. Now, I have endorsements by Equal Votes. The guy over there, Ed, has been supportive. They just ran a tweet storm, 2 of them. A week apart, the first one hit over 2,000, and I think this second one hit about 1,800 to 2,000. I have a Blue Wave crowdsource off of social media. That's awesome. I have I got the endorsement of the Alabama Democratic Conference. Now, the first time around, we were one of 7, I believe it is, races that the ADC statewide did not endorse. But I have their full endorsement, and the Madison County chairman has been helping me strategize. I have I call it endorsement, but it's really not, of Twitter. And I've been asking my Twitter friends and supporters to listen in, and I want to give a shout-out to them because I have gone to them over and over for donations, and they have stepped up. The only thing I have not was not able to raise right now to get the rest of my flyers to hand out at the polls is $145. That's it. But these folks on Twitter, and they're not just from the state of Alabama. They are from the state of Alabama and all over the country. If all of these people that supported me, almost 4,000, if they were here in Alabama, I'd win this hands down. But I have so much support, and those that can't donate, they retweet. Sometimes my retweet go 100,000 times in a day's time, and they're so encouraging. And there's a couple of men, Nick and Will Benton, and then I have Diana and Bama and Debbie House. I mean, I could name you about 10 women, Marcus, and 2 men that they just pushing me all the way. I mean, they have grabbed me from in the state and around the country. They have grabbed me, and they are pushing me. So I want to shout out for that.
I am a Moms Demand Gun Sense Distinction candidate. I'm proud of that. I'm missing. I got a couple other endorsements I'm missing because it's six of them. But for everybody in those groups that have endorsed me, I am humbled, blessed, grateful, and appreciative. What I need now, I need people to go to my website, www.VoteDebarahBarros, Barros.com, and donate. I need to raise today that last $145 because tomorrow I need to go pick up these flyers. And so that's what I need. I need a lot of – I was at Oakwood University yesterday. People laid hands and prayed. Last night I was at New Life Church on Pulaski. People laid hands and prayed, talking to the women. This morning I was at a little church off of Oakwood and Meridian Street called New Horizons, and they have an awesome recovery program for addicts and, you know, other folks. I mean, small church, awesome. And I was there today, and they were so welcoming. I've been to other churches, people such as Progressive Union and Union Chapel have rolled out the carpet. I was at another church. I mean, I can't even remember all the churches I've been to. And so I'm so grateful for the prayers, the donations. You know, I need that. I need the prayers. I need donations. I need money to get me through Tuesday. And then I'm in it to win it. I win it. Then I need, it's going to be more donations, but it'll be, you know, I'll be able to do better. And then I need volunteers. I need volunteers. I need movers and shakers. I've been trying to reach out to my precious millennials because, you know, we need that energy. And so I need that. I need families. After Tuesday, Lord allows me to win this, I'm going to step up my game. I need people to sit on my committee, campaign committee. I'm stepping up my game because if people don't support, we can't win. Now, what I need the most, Marcus, is for people to get out and vote this Tuesday the 17th. You know, primary, we only had about 25% to 30% around the state that voted. There are people that don't vote in special elections, primaries, and definitely runoffs. But for all of those listening, this is what I need to educate you about. This primary is crucial to this general election, 2018. And this general election is crucial to 2020. You cannot just vote during presidential elections and feel that you're doing something. Politics is local. You have to start local because what you do local happens in Montgomery. And then we get in Montgomery. Montgomery helps to shape Washington. If you want change in Montgomery and you want change in Washington, D.C., you must start local. And when you, if you don't know who to vote for, then, you know, and you're Democrat, you can always go to call or go to our Democratic headquarters, which is on Jordan Lane, and you can go down there, get brochures, ask about the people, so you can be an informed voter. Now, for me, I tell people I'm transparent. I'm open book. You can ask me anything about any topic or anything about my life. I'm woman enough to say it. And if by chance I don't know, I'm woman enough to say, you know what, I'm not sure about that, but let me look it up and I'll get back in touch with you. And I've listened to other candidates speak, Marcus, about topics and said, I really don't know a lot about that, like when they first started talking about our retirement system. But I made it my business to research, do my own personal interviews, and find out about it because I care about what the people think, then I need to know about it because when they come to me, I need to know and hear and feel the passion that they have. So I call myself the candidate of the family. I believe that, yes, I believe in education reform. We need to pay our teachers more, and then when we give them a raise, stop raising their insurance so that they never see it in their check. Yes, we need in our education reform a restorative justice program in the schools. We need more mental health and more counselors. And when I hear people say, it's not our job, if things start in the home, well, duh, obviously a lot of things aren't starting in some of the homes, and our kids hopefully will live to be adults. We need to equip teachers with good salaries, more money for their classrooms, more training, okay, more programs, and not guns. I believe I have a gun, an amendment. However, I believe that if you are a violent offender, if you've been accused and charged with domestic violence, if you are having serious mental issues, you should not be able to get a gun. Not because we want to take away your rights, because we want people to live, including you. And then I found out, Marcus, most people talk about they trying to take away our Second Amendment right. Doesn't know. It's the fear-mongering from the other side, because nobody can take away your Second Amendment right other than the Supreme Court. And even if they say take it away, Congress and the Senate has to come together and accept that. And nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to take away your Second Amendment right. And then the people are not even educated on the Second Amendment, right? Because it was not formed for everybody, no matter who they are, to have a weapon. It was formed during the Civil War when you've seen movies where the other side rides in on horses, onto a plantation or a farm, rape the women, eat all their food, burn their house, and leave. Well, when the Constitution was being written, the people rose. And they came up with some things that they said you don't address, and we don't want to happen again. And if you do, there's going to be tyranny. We're going to rise against you. That is why the founding fathers, it took them a few years, and they went back and wrote amendments to address the needs of the people. The amendments were not ratified the same time the Constitution was. That was a few years later. Because they had to go by the will of the people. And so I would like our voters to be more informed. And it's time that our Democratic leaders, nationally and statewide, educate the voters. Because the voters are not educated. We need to educate the voters. I was out last night with these women, this woman's program, and afterwards I was sitting talking with a few women. All three of them are new to Alabama. They come from California, Maryland, places like that. And they looked at me and said, who do we vote for? We see all these commercials, but we don't know who's Democrat or Republican. We don't know who the people are that are running. So I said, you know, you can go here and here, you know, online, and better yet, go down to our Democratic headquarters. We have brochure sites. You can ask any question you want. You can call me. Meet me down there, and I'll help you to be an informed voter. And they were like, we lived in other states, and we have never had to do this where you come in and don't know who to vote for and don't this and don't. They would send out.
Let's just be honest. This is the Bringing Voices to Power show, but I'm also the grassroots mouthpiece. This is because of poor organization. People are worried about the wrong thing. The party leaders are worried about the wrong thing. And the thing they're more worried about is, number one, the next election so they can stay in their seat. And just being able to, in plain words, live off the party funds. They need to distribute these damn funds and not be sitting up on funds. Get these funds that you're raising.
And build your candidate.
Even if you ain't got no funds, if you ain't got no funds, if you don't have no funds, get the raising funds. Yes, get the raising funds if you don't have them. I don't want to hear the old song. I don't want to hear the old song and dance about where we ain't got this, we ain't got that. Well, why aren't they behind out raising the money? Why are they not raising the money? They don't have it. They should have it.
Here's the issue I have, Marcus. I have yet to see and maybe I just missed it and it happened and I didn't know. I haven't seen a commercial, an infomercial. I haven't seen a Democratic leader to come and say, here are your candidates, get out, rah, rah, vote, vote, rah, rah.
They ain't
going
to do it. Listen, all these folks, listen, hold up. All these folks that ain't worried about nothing but their own little petty position, their own little petty-ass egos. The Alabama Democratic Party, especially the African-American ones, I'm going to have to call them out because I am African-American. They all worried about their little petty-ass egos and keeping a position of like they important or some shit. They're just a regular old person. They're really not doing nothing for the party. What they really need to do is get real, put some progressives, and give some of these young millennials a place in the party, something to do. The stuff I'm seeing is just disgusting, what I'm seeing. The way these people are running the Democratic Party is disgusting.
And you're right.
And they ought
now
to be ashamed
of
themselves.
Now, I will give a shout-out. I'm going to give a shout-out to State Representative Anthony Daniels. Ever since he's been in office this last couple of years, he has been traveling around the state.
Go ahead and shout Anthony Daniels out. He's a great guy. I've talked to him several times. But what I'm measuring for the grassroots mouthpiece is how many of these people out here getting the help. I don't want to talk about how great he is when he hasn't even. Has he called and congratulated the candidates, especially in the Attorney General's race, Joe Reed and company? They did not endorse Joseph Siegelman. But then the loser, Chris Christie, he's doing a good job, so I hear. He's doing a good job out there.
They took the loser and put him
in a position. What I'm saying is they put him in a position, made sure he landed on his feet. I mean, while you're making sure he landed on his feet and you're doing for him, what have you done for those candidates who won lately?
That's my problem, and they're not going to get away with it.
The Democratic Party is not going to get away with it. They better come real or they're going to face the consequences.
Well, Marcus, this is what I'm saying. Now, I have seen, I've heard some people talk about.
You got 2 minutes. I'm going to let you wrap it up. You got 2 minutes. I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Wow, this always goes so fast. Well, anyway, they just started.
That's why you
got to
come on more. That's why you got to come on more. You need to come on more. People need to hear from you.
Okay, well, let me say this. Let's get off of that. You and I can have that debate. What I know now is trying to be
I'll
done
have it with
if
whoever.
They get support. But,
I'll have it with
but
whoever.
Saying is, you and I can talk about that later. But I also support getting taxes off of groceries. And because when you give people extra money in their pocket, it burns and they put it in the economy. I support other things like a rail system from the bottom of Alabama to the top. I support criminal justice and correctional reform. I mean, I tell people I support seniors and vets, equality, the ERA, the ACLU, and I support unions. You can go to my website, and I'll give it again, www.deborahbarros.com. And if you go to my page where it says issues, some of the things that I support is there. And if you go to my media page and go past the picture gallery, you'll see some of my YouTube videos of me speaking. You'll hear my passion. You'll know who I am. So let me end it with this, Marcus. Whenever I speak, what I tell people is my story is your story. Your story is my story. I'm we the people. You're we the people. Use your voice and your vote. It's your power. Don't be afraid to stand up and speak up. And together, put me in and I say, welcome to change. And that's how I like to end.